Yeah. Good morning, everyone. I'm Dan Pertell. I'm the Director of Innovation for BSI, British Standards Institution. So I wasn't aware there'd be another standards body here, IEEE. So they write technical standards. We actually write and author ISO standards. So we've got about 110,000 standards that we've written across several different areas. We write about 3,000 standards a year. That's a little bit of what we do, but not really what I wanted to talk about today. Trying to advance here. The big one in the middle. Okay. So we're a 120-year-old British company located just outside of London. And we're a founding member of ISO, which actually formed in the 1940s. 10 of the 12 most popular standards in the world, ISO 9000, ISO 27000, which is cybersecurity, 9000 is obviously quality, 45000 health and safety. You know, we certify companies around the world to that. And with that, we do about 280,000 audits a year in 176 countries. And in the healthcare space, one of our major sectors, we are the world's largest certification body for anything that goes in the body. That is ISO 13485 medical device, which we did hear some medical device discussion earlier. We also provide a lot of training. So we train about 250,000 people a year. And with that, that was one of our first opportunities for blockchain. We actually started blockchaining certificates because we had a lot of false claims associated with people and the credentials that we provide to these quarter million people. So I'm based out of Arizona and travel to the UK frequently, and we'll just cover some of those blockchain use cases. And the first one I want to talk about is an association called SCAN, the Supplier Compliance Audit Network. And again, SCAN was set up as a way of actually talking about trust in the supply chain and being able to validate or disprove false claims associated with that. This was a Homeland Security solicitation through their innovation group, which looked at supply chain claims, traceability, as well as authenticity of products that were coming into the US. Now, we came in third place on that. We were beat by Walmart, and I think it was only because they had a cool name. They called their use case guacchain, so it was actually avocados coming from Peru, and they wanted to show the authenticity associated with that. We still went ahead and built this out, even though it wasn't the winner by the government, and I'll cover this quickly. So a little bit about SCAN. SCAN represents some of the largest retailers in the world and about $2 trillion of imports coming into the U.S. each year. And unlike Walmart, who was looking at avocados in the what, we were looking at the who and what it was coming from or who it was coming from. So there's obviously, again, and you will see trust and transparency at the center of everything that I'm talking about today. But with that, we have a lot of factories that would obviously like to be certified by BSI and part of this SCAN association so they could get orders from the likes of Walmart, Target, Home Depot, and some of the other brands that you see here. So what we do is we'll certify to those companies, those suppliers, and actually put that into the blockchain. And this is what it looks like. BSI is the third party management company of this association. There's about 25,000 factories now that we've run through the blockchain and actually certified. There's six other audit bodies that some of those you may recognize that actually certify those too. We actually enter that into a software that we have, Supplier Compliance Manager. And there's 10 different data points that we extract with that that we then can share with different ecosystems through a decentralized knowledge graph and blockchain technology. We put that into the blockchain. We convert that into a QR code. And on a permission basis, we actually have other entities that can actually take a look at those credentials to see if, in fact, that, let's just call it Laura's Manufacturing in Jakarta, Indonesia, is actually a SCAN certified company, so they don't have to inspect that container. We're a trusted force multiplier. And it's worked very well, because again, what we are seeing are false claims. People photoshopping our credentials, just no differently than a training certificate, or no differently than a medical device certificate, and actually using that. And then we allow other permission entities to actually go ahead enter into this permission blockchain and actually validate the credentials that are claimed by these different entities. So you'll see by the end of the year, we're announcing a memorandum of understanding with Homeland Security and U.S. Customs to where then they can access these 10 different data points to go ahead and model which containers are going to be inspected coming into the U.S. So again, it doesn't tackle the what, it tackles the who. And those were some of our first use cases. And easier to implement the blockchain, not as many nodes, and less complex, and really validated the technology. And this has got an endorsement by Homeland Security. It's a best known practice of validating supply chains, and is pretty fun. This is what it looks like visualized. So we actually have an interface that doesn't look like what I would consider standard code and too complex. It's kind of a profile page associated with that where you can actually validate the blockchain live to see if it's still a valid certificate, valid credentials associated with that, and actually understand a little bit more about it. And again, these 10 different data elements that we put into the blockchain can then be shared with different entities. It can be shared with different mutually recognized customs organizations around the world. Again, Homeland Security, U.S. Customs. And then that goes and it's directly fed into the National Targeting Center. So which containers are going to be inspected? And obviously the benefit to Walmart, Target, and the likes of this, they have expedited imports into the U.S. And during times of increased risk, that's very important. Secondly, and lastly, what I wanted to talk about was another use case, and this is healthcare specific. We started to get and dig a little bit deeper and outside of the who into the what. And we have 82,000 clients across the world. A lot of what we do is in the healthcare space, and getting different pharmaceutical goods throughout the supply chain became very important for our clients and from a trust mechanism. We work and have a solution called Aid Trust, provides trust and transparency and real-time visibility of pharmaceutical goods going throughout the supply chain. And what it does is it enables an NGO to actually demonstrate to pharmaceutical companies, large companies that have been mentioned here today, but just think of the top pharma companies in the world that are donating drugs to the Global Fund, USAID, or other NGOs to demonstrate that the goods that have been distributed are actually those that are getting to these people that without these drugs could likely die. And that was, again, part of our purpose and what we wanted to do. So we started working an end-to-end supply chain visibility and trust ecosystem, again, using a decentralized knowledge graph and blockchain technology that allowed us to go ahead and demonstrate that patients actually were the recipient of these donated drugs. It's also a requirement for large pharmaceutical companies to go ahead and actually, from a tax write-off perspective, demonstrate that their donated drugs are actually getting to those end patients. So what it looks like is when a pharmaceutical company has a donation and it's leaving their distribution center, it actually goes into our blockchain and there's a node added. We've got traceability and chain of custody of those goods going all the way over to the end recipient. We actually process these through medical treatment facilities across the world and then into hospitals. Private, public, wherever it may be, to administer these drugs. Now, what was interesting is we were implementing this in Asia Pacific, and we're seeing a high error rate in terms of scanning technology and actually entering things into the blockchain. And there was a good reason for that, because about 30% of donated goods, or just some of the stuff that happens within the supply chain around pharmaceutical, is actually ending up in the hands of people that are either stealing the goods, diverting it, and we see a lot of diversion within the supply chain, and that was actually the case here with this first implementation. So we were able to uncover a pretty significant fraud and theft operation where those goods were actually being sold, the donated goods being sold to private hospitals. We had a whistleblower come out in a couple of these locations and actually highlighted. So this is great. I mean, this is what my former areas of supply chain in doing predictive modeling and trying to show trust issues. But with that, it was actually really, I think, what digital trust or digital truth is all about, is being able to show where this technology can actually uncover some of these claims. So with that, we got a large contract expansion with this NGO, and we're in the process of rolling this out to about 70 countries across the globe. And I think also what it will enable you to do, blockchain technology, is there were some unanticipated benefits that we didn't see. And with this, you know, being able to show inventory controls is really tough from a supply chain perspective. How much of what pharmaceutical products do I have on hand? What is the expiration date or the lifespan of this? And so we're starting to see some benefits that are actually manifesting with this that, again, were unanticipated, but are starting to show a lot of value there. Even to the point where we were able to show actually the exact healthcare facility where the stolen pharmaceutical goods actually ended up, and we could supply that. So as a result of that, we're seeing more pharmaceutical companies jumping in on these different NGOs. And this is just, I think, the first use case in terms of what we're starting to really work at and focus within the healthcare sector on the what. Another quick illustration, I think, of something that actually manifested during COVID. So from a 1345 perspective, medical device certification, we also saw a lot of false claims associated with our certificates from a healthcare perspective. So when a case of N95 mask, which are medical device and certified, which also can contain one of our certificates, actually arrive in a hospital, we are seeing a lot of counterfeit activity there. So within healthcare, the next thing that we're actually working on and already starting to deploy is those certifications against 13485 and the certifications associated with that, because we saw just hundreds of thousands of devices that were counterfeited and actually sent, and people really taking advantage of a very fragile situation within the healthcare sector. So those are a couple quick examples that I wanted to talk about here today. Again, I thank Tori for the opportunity to come and present, and I'll be around for the rest of the day. Here's some contact information, and with that, I'm gonna finish, and I don't know if we're going to lunch or what, but I appreciate the opportunity to present. Thank you.